The resurrection of Christ is a doctrine that has been denied and affirmed throughout history. And yet when we consider this doctrine, it is one of the great foundation stones of Christianity and of the gospel. The apostles, when they preached the gospel, it says in Acts chapter 17 verse 8 that they preached Jesus and the resurrection. And when we look at the apostle Paul's contention here in this chapter 15, he is saying here that if there is no resurrection, then Christ hasn't risen. And if Christ hasn't risen, then preaching that Christ is risen is vain. And then he goes on to say that if preaching is vain, then faith in Christ is vain. And we are still in our sins. Now when we follow that through to its logical conclusion, we see how devastating a denial of the doctrine of the resurrection is. Now when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And we must understand today that Christ's claims as the Son of God are validated by his resurrection. See, turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And we read here that it says of Christ some remarkable words. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. It says of Christ, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And so here we see it. He's declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection. And then we think of the truth of the Scriptures and the Apostles' witness. And we see throughout the Scriptures that they teach and affirm the resurrection. We see it again in our passage in the first four verses when the Apostle is explaining what the Gospel is. And he says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again the third day. And there we see it again. You see, if the resurrection is not true, then the entire Scripture's testimony and the testimony of the apostles, it's all false. And yet so many today in the established church and the modern church deny this doctrine. I was looking the other day at some articles and I came across this one from the Telegraph. I'm not sure exactly what paper it is, but it was a survey of the Church of England, and they surveyed 2,000 of the church's clergy, and one out of three denied the resurrection of Christ. One out of three. And we know of the history that the Church of England have in that regard, because there was the Reverend David Jenkins, and even I know of him in Australia, and he said of the resurrection, he called it a conjuring trick with bones. This is the leading bishop in the Church of England, denying the resurrection of Christ. And so when we see these things, we ask ourselves the question, how is that possible? To deny a fundamental doctrine like that. But you might be here today and you might be asking, well, what significance does the resurrection have for me? And that's what I want to preach on this morning, is the significance of Christ's resurrection for the believer. The significance of Christ's resurrection for the believer. You see, this great doctrine's not only true, but it's a great encouragement for each one of us. It should be of great comfort to us in the days in which we live. The significance of Christ's resurrection. And I want to consider three very simple things this morning. Firstly, I want you to see Christ's resurrection was confirmed by the atonement. Christ's resurrection confirmed the atonement. Now turn again to that passage that we looked at before, Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Because this is a key passage. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And as we've read, it says in verse 3, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And here we see that Christ, who he is and what he said, and oh yes, this refers not only to Christ, but to who he is, his perfection. Oh yes, his sinlessness, his purity, his claim to be the Son of God. Oh yes, when we think of him and he said, I am come that they might have life, all the claims of Christ regarding salvation. And yet this verse is saying that these claims of Christ are confirmed by the resurrection. You see, today, the atonement has been accepted. How do we know that? The atonement has been accepted by God because Christ rose from the dead. You see, when the Lord rose, it was a public seal. It was an evidence to us that God had stamped his approval upon what the Lord had did upon the cross. Oh, yesterday, how can we know that what Christ did upon the cross actually did what he came to achieve? How can we know that what Christ did truly put away sin? It's because he rose again from the dead. You see, if Christ is not who he claims to be, then his blood can never be a ransom for sinners. Or yes, can we see today that our very salvation, the fact that we can be cleansed through the blood of Christ, the fact that on the cross he suffered for our sins, how can we know that this is true for us? How can we know that our sins truly have been dealt with by Christ? Well, it's by the resurrection. You see, this was a public declaration that what the Lord Jesus Christ did was accepted by God the Father. That it truly was a sacrifice for sin. That it truly did take away sin. Or yes, how do we know on the cross when the Lord said it is finished? How do we know that that really is true? Oh yes, it was finished because on the third day, the Lord rose again from the dead. This is what this verse is saying. And then turn, look over, consider with me Romans 4 and verse 25, because we see this very thing again. Christ's resurrection confirmed the atonement. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. And this says, but for us also to whom it shall, verse 24 I'm reading from, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and raised again for our justification. And when we look at this verse, this really is a comprehensive statement of the gospel, who was delivered for our offences and raised again for our justification. And we see from this verse that the resurrection of Christ was necessary because it was proof that his death put away sin. You see, it says there, who was delivered for our offences. Or how can we know today that our offences have been put away? Because the Lord Jesus Christ rose again. We can have confidence, dear believer. Oh yes, we know of our sin. We battle with it every day, but how do we know that the Lord has dealt with our sin? We see him rising again from the dead. We know that his sacrifice is acceptable. But then we see as well that Christ's resurrection, it secured the continual application of the merits of his atonement. Now that might sound complicated to you, but simply what it means is Christ rose again so that he could intercede for us. What is it that Christ is doing right now? He's before the throne of God and he's interceding on our behalf. But yet how could he have done that if he hadn't risen from the dead? How could he be there pleading the merits of his atonement? How could he have presented himself before God, making atonement for us, if he'd never risen from the dead? Oh yes, when we think of the Lord interceding on our behalf, we see again the essential point of the resurrection. If the Lord hadn't risen from the dead, the Lord wouldn't be in heaven praying for you right now. The Lord wouldn't be in heaven right now interceding on your behalf. When you pray, your prayers wouldn't be through Christ. Your prayers would be to a dead Savior. He wouldn't be a Savior if he was dead. Can we see today that the resurrection has an impact on us even now? Or yes, you might say the resurrection happened 2,000 years ago. What impact does it have for me as a believer now? Or yes, it's not only secured the fact that your sins have been dealt with, but right now the Lord's interceding for His people. What a blessing that should be to us. And this is because the Lord rose again from the dead. And then lastly, on this point, and when we look at our text in 1 Corinthians 15, the passage, we look in verse 17 and it says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins." And here we see it again. If Christ is not raised, your faith is vain, and that word vain means fruitless. It's without value. It's really a waste of time. To have faith in Christ, if He had never risen from the dead, is fruitless. It's silly to believe in a dead Savior. And my friend, what does that say of every other religion in the world who put their faith in a man, who put their faith in a prophet, who, yes, he lived his life and supposedly received revelation and supposedly brought in this new way to be saved, but all when he died, that was it. My friend, when we look to Christ, we see one who's unique. He can't be compared with the religious leaders of the world. He can't be compared with other religious. Or, yes, men will mock us having faith in Christ. Men will mock us for believing in Christ, but here it is. The resurrection is proof that our faith is not vain. Our faith is in Christ, a risen Savior. Oh, dear friends, can you see today what a wonderful thing that is to be a Christian? To have faith in Christ, to have faith in one who's not dead but alive. Oh, yes, we can trust what He says. We have evidence. The Lord rose again from the dead. And we see there it says their faith is not fruitless. And it goes on and it says there, ye are yet in your sins. So if Christ be not raised, we are still in our sins. And what that really means is we are still under the condemnation of sin. We're still under the wrath of God. We're still considered guilty before God. Oh no, we see it again. If there's no resurrection, there can be no atonement. There can be no justification. And now we're getting down to the nitty-gritties of the gospel. Can you see, dear friends, today, the resurrection is so important. If you deny it, you deny the gospel. You see here, if Christ didn't raise, we're still in our sins. You know, if the Lord had died upon the cross and never risen again, His death would have been no value for us. That's what this verse is saying. Ye are still in your sins. The people of God would still be under the condemnation of God. That's what this verse is teaching. Can we see how vital this is for us today? And you know, this is underlined by the fact that we read in Romans 10 verse 9, you know, if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, what is that teaching us? If you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not a Christian. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not a Christian. This verse is teaching us, or if you're an unbeliever in the meeting today, if you believe in thine heart Jesus Christ and believe that God raised Him from the dead, oh yes, it's fundamental. Believing in the resurrection. But what a great confirmation we have here of what the Lord did upon the cross. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged. The resurrection is a great encouragement to us. That we can look to the Lord and have confidence that what He did upon the cross actually took away sins. That in heaven right now He is interceding for us. And we have confidence in what God says to us. We can have confidence in what Christ has said. Or yes, what evidence we have for us today. Christ's resurrection confirmed the atonement. But then secondly, Christ's resurrection provided victory over death and sin. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6. And this chapter begins with the subject of a believer's death to sin. Because we read there in verse 1, the apostle says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" Now what this is really saying to us today is that it is only possible for us to have victory over sin and death if we are in union with the Lord. That's what it means there when it says to be baptized into Jesus Christ. That means to be in union with Jesus Christ. And we go on and in verse 4 it says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now I want you to understand that Paul here is not teaching sinless perfection. He's not teaching sinless perfection. But what he is teaching is that the believer, since he has been regenerated and he's come into union with the Lord, and so as the Lord died and so as the Lord resurrected, so the believer in union with Christ has that experience spiritually. You see, to be regenerated means to have a new principle of life in the soul. And that means that we live not by the principle of sin, but we're living unto God. And it means that we're not a slave to sin anymore. Sin doesn't have the dominion over us. You see, this is what we see here in verse 4. "As Christ was raised from the dead, so we also should walk in newness of life." You see, we see in the same chapter in verse 13. It says there, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead." As those that are alive from the dead. It says there, yield not to sin, and that really means present yourself not to sin. Present yourself not as an instrument of sin, but present yourself as an instrument to be used of God, as those that are alive from the dead. There you have it. The believer in union with the Lord, yes, he's died. And he's been risen again spiritually. You see, dear friends, today, yes, we live in a body of sin. But you've been regenerated. And you're no longer under that condemnation. And we have this union with the Lord. And so as we have died in the Lord, so we are risen in the Lord. And so when it comes to sin, the point is for us today is that Christ's resurrection makes it possible for us to deny sin. It makes it possible for us to live unto God. Or yes, you might be here today struggling with sin. You might feel that, oh, sin's got I find it so hard to resist it. I find it so hard to deny it. But here's the encouragement for you. That if you're in the Lord, there's been the victory. See, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again. My friends, we can live in newness of life in Christ. Oh yes, we battle against the flesh. But can you see it's because of our union with Christ. We see there in verse 7, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is. How can you do this, dear believer? How can you know the victory over sin? Oh, it's not by your own means. It's not by you trying hard. It's not by you using works, but oh yes, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know the victory. To be dead indeed unto sin. To deny sin. And to be alive unto God. You see, this is what we see again in 1 Corinthians 15 in the last few verses. 1 Corinthians 15, it says in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the theme of these, of the previous verses, is the resurrection of believers. And we see here there is victory over death, but this victory over death is ascribed to Christ. It says there, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There we see it again. If you're trying to overcome sin, you're going to fail on your own, but it's through Christ. But then when we think of death, you will not be able to resist death. Death is coming for every one of us. Every one of us will die. But what is this verse teaching us? It's because Christ went before. Christ went before, and because he rose again from the dead, this is the point, because he rose again from the dead, we can know the victory. We can know the victory of over death. Oh yes, there's a promise in this chapter that so as Christ rose from the dead, so we will rise. But it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in verse 20 of this same chapter, it says, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, because he rose. Because he rose. And because we are in union with him, we will also rise. You see, that's a wonderful thing for us today. We think of sin and death. And we face both. But the victory over both is in Jesus Christ. And my friend, unless you grasp that today, you will always be battling against both and you will always fail. But take encouragement today. There's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's gone before. We're not walking a path that hasn't been trod before. And the wonderful thing is that we're walking a path with the Lord. With the Lord. Take encouragement today, dear believer. Oh yes, we still live in this body of sin. We will still die, but we have the Lord. He's overcome sin. He's risen again from the dead. This is a wonderful thing for us today that we can take encouragement from. You see, that's what we see again in Romans 8 and verse 11. Says, Romans 8 and verse 11, it says, But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That is a wonderful verse. Because the power that raised Christ from the dead, this verse is saying, that power will quicken you. On that day when the Lord returns and we rise with him, the power that rose Christ from the dead is what will rise us. That is a wonderful thing for us. May we live in the reality of that. May that grip our hearts. Oh yes, dear believer struggling with sin, take a hold of this. Look to Christ. He's the only way that we can live a victorious life over sin. But it's because of His resurrection. And then finally, today, and thirdly, Christ's resurrection assures the hope of heaven. Christ's resurrection assures the hope of heaven. And we see this in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. And we read there, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And here the Apostle Peter is speaking of hope for the future. And what is the hope for the future for the Christian? And here we see it. The hope that we have is because of the resurrection of Christ. Because He says there, according to His abundant mercy, which has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ. And so we are being told here that the hope that we have for heaven is because of the resurrection of Christ. And it says there that it is a lively hope. And that word lively means it's living. It's real. This is not something that is fake, but it's actually real. It's something that will happen. And in the sense of these words, it is a real expectation that the Christian can have, that he can be assured of, that it can be definite about. And when we think of that, when we think of the hope for heaven, again, men will mock us. How can you believe in a heaven? How can you believe that you can go to heaven? Well, here it is, friends. By the resurrection of Christ. You see, the fact that Christ rose from the dead in a physical body. Oh yes, His body was perfect. It was incorruptible. Oh yes, but the fact that He rose from the dead in a physical body and He ascended into heaven in a physical body means that we can also. You think of that today. Christ went into heaven in a real body. He was the first person to ever do that. Christ was the first person to ascend into heaven in a real physical body. What does that mean for us today? That means that we can in Christ. You see, this gives us the hope that we can bodily be with the Lord in heaven. Oh yes, just as Christ did, so can we also. And dear friends, get a grip on this. It is because the Lord rose again from the dead that He could ascend. And because He rose again from the dead in a physical body, that He's in heaven right now interceding on our behalf. All the Lord paved the way for us. You see, heaven is the undoubted inheritance of all the children of God. That's what it calls it here. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled. Oh yes, it's not ever going to diminish. It's not ever going to be damaged. It's not ever going to become less over time. It fadeth not away. It's not going to disappear over time. But it's reserved in heaven for you. You think of that when you go to a football match, probably over here that's what you would do, and you take a ticket with you and you go to the gate and you give the ticket to the person, and that's a guarantee that you'll get a seat. But if the man at the gate turned around and said, "Well, the stadium's full, we can't take you in anymore," well, he'd be dishonouring the fact that you bought that ticket. But here we have, it's a description of our inheritance. It says it's reserved in heaven for you. But how can we have that guarantee? How can we know that there is a place in heaven reserved for the people of God? It's because of the resurrection of Christ. It's because of the resurrection. We see this. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4.
And we see this again. 1 Thessalonians 4. And we read there in verse 14, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." You see, Christ's resurrection is the means of and the hope of our resurrection. Is the means of and the hope of our eternal glory and happiness in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thing for you today? Living in this world is hard. Sometimes we can get discouraged. Here's the hope for you, for the believer, heaven. But it's because of the resurrection. Do you see that today? It's because of the resurrection. And we think of these three things that we've gone through today and how vital they are. All the resurrection should influence everything of your life. What an impact it has upon our lives. You see, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll turn back there in conclusion. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, he says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." What a statement that is. But how true it is. Really what he's saying, for the believer, for the Christian, if the resurrection didn't happen, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then if we believe all these things and we have no evidence for it, and if we trust in the Lord and we trust in one who's still dead, then of all the people in the world, we're the most miserable. And that's true. But the point is for us today is that the Lord did rise. And what does that mean for us? That means that we're not the most miserable, but yet we are really, should be the most joyful and the most rejoicing people on the earth. What we believe in is actually real. What we believe in is true. Yes, the resurrection's not fake. It's not a conjuring trick with bones. It's a reality. Today, that should make your heart rejoice and fill you with tremendous joy and love for the one who rose on your behalf, the one who died for your sins, the one who on the third day rose again. You see, in John 20 and verse 20, when the Lord had risen and the disciples were in the upper room, and yes, they were afraid, and the Lord came in and it says, "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." What a wonderful thing that is. Let me ask you that today. Does this, when you ponder on the resurrection of Christ, does that gladden your heart to see the Lord? To see the fact he rose again from the dead. These men, they saw the Lord crucified. They saw him in the grave. All the tears and the weeping and the sorrow. But then they see the Lord risen again from the dead. And they're glad. What the Lord said was real. What the Lord said was true. Our faith wasn't vain. We're not in our sins. The Lord has risen from the dead. Let me ask you that today. Is that your response? I trust today that you'd be encouraged by looking upon this, by looking upon the risen Savior. Trust that your heart would be thrilled when you consider the Lord's wondrous power, when he overcame death and rose again from the grave. I pray that these things would be a blessing to us and the Lord would use them for his glory. Amen. We'll close this morning with